Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the Bengals Beat podcast. It's the BBP 2, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. And, I know people are showing up today. They were expecting the big debate between Jim and Hot Take James, but it was thrown off by a doctor's appointment gone bad.
Yeah, that
not
that
the, is, not gone bad, that, like no, in a really bad way. You're still doing good.
Yes, I'm still doing good. It was just it took a little longer than I anticipated,
so
which kind of pushed back the schedule. Because even James tried to say he's got a job in the afternoon. I don't really
I don't know.
But that's okay.
So just go with the old guy who's always around.
So we found an old man that was on the street, and
we went with the guy who actually knows NFL quarterback play. So we'll roll with Jeff Hobson.
So
I just know bad NFL quarterback play when I see it.
you've seen a lot of it,
right?
Boy, yeah.
You've seen a lot of it. So the optics on this are bad for you. It looks like you're trying to duck Hot Take James, but this will be redone.
Yes,
we're hoping for next Thursday.
Yes, there are no
schedule anymore.
No, there are no appointments scheduled. Okay. There will be no delays that on my end.
On your end. All right. So that's where we're at with that. So don't worry. The hot debate is coming. But for now,
I made it from my appointment with Dr. Kevorkian, so I'm okay.
Well, and I want to hear about that too.
Right.
So I wanted to bring you in because for a couple of reasons. You know,
just to check to see if I'm alive.
Check to see that you're alive, and I'm curious your take on this whole year. Like you said, you've seen a lot of bad seasons. You've seen a lot. As a general broad brush, what went wrong? What went wrong in 2017?
To paraphrase James Cavill, the offensive line. It was the offensive line. Stupid.
Yeah.
It was bad, and it was. When your offensive line is sick, your whole offense is sick, and no wonder your quarterback. You know, I think they've gotten miraculous play from their quarterback, given what he's been working with and behind. You know, and not only that, the other subset there is that their young receivers have just kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
I really thought they were going to develop. You know, when they drafted Josh Malone, there were people saying, "Hey, this guy's ahead of Marvin Jones."
Yeah,
you know, and he just hasn't. Now I think I think Malone's good because every time he's involved in a play, he's like half a step ahead of the guy. He's always, but they can't get it to him for whatever reason. I mean, Andy gets crunched there. I mean, that's what happened. That's what happened Sunday.
Yeah,
I mean, he was thrown off. He was thrown off two back feet.
Yeah,
and had a short arm at that, but Malone was open. But it's just, but then we get into this thing. It all starts up front, and so to me, that would be the major thing.
And we knew that, right?
Yeah.
And that's the frustrating thing for Bengals fans is that
we knew
the line was going to be the problem, and it was like there was there denial happening inside of the building, or just were they too focused on hope of development? You know, because that it was all about the plan, right? This was the plan, and we're hoping on development.
They were very upfront about it.
Yes.
Right. Here's the thing, and this is impossible. If they would have started week one in Baltimore, the way they began to play in Jacksonville, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Right. Again, the bar was real low, but in the stretch of those road games where they were passable, it was five sacks against in those three road games. Mm-hmm. Andy had time. Like, if they would have started there in week one.
Yeah.
And then progressed and made this sort of improvement, I think, and made it, you know what I mean? Like, I think
you'd have had a shot.
You would have had a shot. Yeah. But they didn't start. I mean, Jacksonville, the season essentially was already almost, on life support.
They were already with their back against the wall when they finally started to step over the bar that was touching the ground.
So I think I think you're right. I think that the hope was development or whatever would have happened with Jake Fisher at right tackle instead of Andre Smith, and that was the start, but it didn't. It didn't happen.
You know, the whole thing has been kind of SN2, really, going back to last year, putting Obwehi at right tackle. And the whole thing's been kind of screwed up, and I don't think the rotation helped anybody.
No.
No, it didn't. I mean, clearly got better. I mentioned Jacksonville. The rotation stopped
that's
in the
when
second
it stopped.
Half.
Yeah, once
that's
they when stopped, stopped moving everybody everywhere is when things got better.
You know, to me, you know, and as shaky as Obwehi is, look, you know, you got to make a decision with it's like I wrote an answer to somebody in an email. You know, they've got to make a – they have to decide if these guys are good enough or – if the scheme's not good enough.
Right.
I think that, you know, what do you know about? You don't know anything about Fisher. You have no idea. 3 years in, still don't know if he can play.
Do we?
Yeah.
We've seen some of Jake Fisher.
Yeah, we've seen some of them.
And it hasn't looked great.
No, it hasn't been. I mean, Andre Smith beat him out.
Absolutely.
Andre Smith beat him out. Here's the weird thing for me.
You got to sign Andre Smith. So how much are you going
to
give Andre Smith?
Right. And here's the to me, tackle. Here's this caveat with Jake Fisher. That's your a great unknown, and Jake's not a guy who really I don't think is going to open it up. He had a heart procedure.
Yeah.
Who knows how that ever affected his either conditioning, his ability to play an entire game. I mean, here's a guy
who never played any game. Or could affect it going forward.
I mean, so looking backwards at least, I can – because he had a heart procedure.
Yeah.
It's not like a rolling I will go with Jeff in saying I don't know if we know about him because clearly, as Marvin sort of said in that flippant press conference, well, it was something he was dealing with. I didn't think it was that bad. Like,
it
I mean,
just
clearly. So, you know what I mean?
Hey, it's a tough game played by tough people.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's a huge question going into his contract year next year.
Yeah, I mean, I see, to me, I feel like, well, with Obwehi, you can't give him the fifth year, and with Fisher, I don't think you can count on that. To me, it's a complete. Yeah. You probably
boy.
Need
this
to,
is the year that just this whole thing just got tipped upside down because this was they've done great in the draft. They've done great in the draft by not reaching, you know. And you know what? They probably should have reached this year for the left tackle who's playing for the kid from Wisconsin, right? Who's playing
Ryan Ramczyk.
Yeah, who's playing on a playoff team.
Yes.
Right. So now I'm not, in most years that's probably not the answer. You got to go with your draft board, but it's just kind of wacky. That's how wacky it's been, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and magnified by the fact that you're the only thing your first round pick's been able to do is get in the coach's doghouse.
Right. Yeah.
So everything's magnified, you know.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's easy. So where, and I don't know. So stop me if we're going to places that you can't go to. Yeah. But where do you what do you do? Where does this go? Where does it? I mean, it's the great unknown at this point.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Obviously they're going to have that meeting. Mike and Marvin have the meeting, and I don't know how they do it, how they get there. The number one priority has to be the offense. They have to say, look, we got to, and both of them have to agree, we got to put this thing on the lift. We got to tear it up, okay? Because we're not going to change the quarterback. It's too hard to find the quarterback, okay? But right now, We got no weapons, and we can't protect them, and so we can't be doing what we've been doing. And Andy's been in this offense. I mean, that's why I think you can't stray too far away from the offense. But I think how things are done and how things are coached, you got to take a big look at that.
And and that's why I think at the very least, this whole the good majority of this offensive staff, if not every single person on it, will be wiped out.
I'd hate to see that because I think there's a lot of good people.
There are a lot of – and those people will be fine. Yeah. They'll find jobs elsewhere. But I just feel like it seems like that, right?
Yeah. It does. And I mean, that's the feel you get. You get – you know, I mean, every time you walk into a news conference, that's the feel you get.
Yeah.
But To me, it's just there's too much talent, coaching wise, and too much talent player wise, to be doing this. And I don't know what the I'm just at a loss.
But
of
I guess
the answer
I guess the, Paul's question that we talked is there talent though?
Yeah, I said all the time.
I mean, this is 2 years in a row now, mm-hmm. where it's essentially the same cast of characters because you mentioned the first round pick is out.
Right.
So. And what's they haven't changed offensively other than and 85 hasn't been here. So, I mean, a lot of the caveats.
Well, if this is it, if this is what
guys,
you're telling,
so
if this is what you're telling me what it is, if there is no Eifert and you have no emerging number two receiver and you don't have a left tackle.
So is there talent outside of 14
no,
and 18?
No, there's not.
Right.
There's not. If you if you don't have
the problem
and if you don't have Eifert, and that has been the problem since, well, it's when you didn't have AJ last year. Right. I mean, but.
And this
there's
is not
no
to knock Gio and Joe, but you know, guys, know what I'm saying here. I mean, on the on the biggest level, where's the you know?
I mean, they need help. I mean, that's all. I mean, it's a complimentary.
Right.
I mean, they're solid there.
Right.
I mean, I always balk at the fact of they're wasting all this talent, and I don't necessarily believe that there is all this talent.
Yeah.
Certainly not. Like, you know what? We've had all this talent. In 14 and in 15 on that offense, they had all kinds of talent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was overflowing. I don't see that now. Yeah. I see a bunch of Jessica guys in a lot of key spots.
Yeah, well, without Eifert, it's a big
banking on Eifert in the first place was part of the problem.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I think to me the biggest concern is a wide receiver.
Yes.
You know, I mean that's when are these kids going to step up?
Which they've addressed each of the last 2 years, and they're sitting there staring at maybe nothing right now.
Yeah.
Between whatever John Ross is going to be and whatever Tyler Boyd has regressed to, it's like I don't know.
And to me, they have to look at that. Boyd has regressed. I thought he came into the season. Remember the two guys who improved the most were Cody Core and Boyd.
Yeah,
and they've been invisible. And a part of that is because I they don't go to Boyd. They don't use Boyd much. I don't know why.
But when they have, he's gone to the wrong spot. He's had drops. He's
right.
also a healthy scratch.
Right.
I mean
he's also had some big catches too. I mean he one of the games, he had a big third down catch, but it's been kind of a mixed bag with him. But I'd like to see him. I mean, he had a good rookie year.
Yeah.
He should not have stepped back to what he. I don't know why he regressed.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was hell. He was. He had a
great
productive rookie year. Yeah.
The thought was he could really become a spectacular piece of this offense.
So what happened? I mean, you know, he obviously did it his rookie year. He didn't do it, and that's supposed to be the biggest jump, they say, right?
Right.
Guy's
right.
Biggest jump between and he took a drop.
A large one, yeah.
Is that because of what they're doing or how they're doing it? Or,
yeah.
Right.
I don't know. So how fixable is all this? I mean, is this?
Well, I think it's fixable. I think you get enough. I think you get enough, you know, I mean, I think Duke knows what he's doing in there in the draft room. I think they've proven they've drafted well before. You get the quarterback. You got a big, you know, but you got a, you know, you get a big time receiver in AJ. So there's stuff to, you know, it's certainly salvageable. It's not 1992. It's not 2002.
You know, look at the Vikings last year to this year, right?
Yeah.
Rebuild that offensive line.
Because it's all the other same guys. It's all the same guys offensively.
Figure out what that is.
Right.
Figure out what that is, rebuilding the offensive line, turn that into a strength.
Right.
And I think from there, you can look like the Vikings have looked, even with Case Keenum, the quarterback.
They've been gotten rolled by teams that they easily handled in 14 and 15. They've been rolled. They've been passed by Tennessee. In Jacksonville, they swept Baltimore in 14 and 15, and you know why they've been rolled? Because these other teams have figured it out. They play good defense, and they, you know, and I think Baltimore is sick of having Flacco lose them games,
right.
So they got them handing off, you know, and that's how Tennessee and let's face it, that's how Tennessee and Jacksonville got back in this thing. Good defenses, and they handed it off, you know, and I think, and that's the quickest way to make. And that's all Zimmer's doing. Up and what's he doing? It's like looking at the 2009 Bengals.
Right. Your favorite team of all time.
The favorite team of all time.
Because they ran the ball.
And that's who we're going. And they played good, but they played good defense. They played great defense.
Yeah.
And they were a beast on third down.
Yeah.
I will say that before these injuries, this defense, while it never reached a level of dominance, the thing they hoped and strived for, I think when they were all healthy.
Yeah.
It was a top 10 score. I mean, it fit the mold of
was
winning.
Was it, though? Because I always, you know,
It was a winning defense if they had an offense that could score more than 14 points.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right.
That's what I mean by that.
You're right, because it is hard to judge this defense, because look at that stretch.
Where they played 101 more snaps than everybody else.
They've been outsnapped by
It's unbelievable. I looked it up. The previous biggest difference in snap differential for a season was negative 49. They're at minus 174 right now.
And counting.
And counting. Exactly.
Thank God Detroit's coming in here, because they play handball, so they won't be able to possess it. They won't be able to possess it.
We'll see.
If they possess it on you, strength against strength, I guess you could say.
But yeah, so
I mean, when you have two 18-minute games, you're going to get, and they had two 18-minute games back to back, right? Yep. I mean, you got to. But to me, that's where you start, and it's not that big of a. It's not that big. You've got the defense, I think, in place to, you know, to be good.
It's a defense that can win you games in the NFL
if you manage the offense.
Right.
That's what it comes back to. Yeah. You've got to go because you're a busy man and you've got places to go to. It takes you a while to get there.
No question, because I fall. Because I fall.
It has happened before.
It has happened before. I'll get there, but I got to go to Christ Hospital first.
Butch, it's been a blast. Thank you for stepping in and joining us.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Drops the mic, Jeff. On the way out. Butch, appreciate it. Have a good one. There goes Butch. Off he goes. But we're still here.
Wait, am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Why? Are you afraid you're not on?
Yeah. Well, I flipped the button on the mic.
No, don't do that.
And I was confused. It said off. I'm like, wait, is off on or is on off with the little flip?
Butch's general confusedness, like, just
it rubs off on you,
like, when he comes into your space.
Concerned.
Yeah,
am
okay.
I on? Am I on here? Yeah. No, that was intense.
Action-packed.
Yeah.
Action-packed.
Far more cogent than anything Hot Take James would have given you.
That's true.
We'll revisit that in a week.
People don't like the idea that this team is not far away.
No.
I don't think.
Here's the weird... I was thinking about this. And this would have come up in our conversation with James in a way. This has turned into an unexpected rebuild the last 2 years. And what I mean by... And it's not in-season rebuilds, but, you know, the draft, this rookie class, and then this following rookie class. That was not the expectation by any means, but you have to deal with it as you deal with it. So, I think very correctly at the start of this year, Paul, I'll give you a lot of credit when you said this group looked to be trending towards a bump in 18 and 19.
Yeah.
You know, you look 2 years down the road, there's still gonna be major issues on the defense that we just kind of talked about, but it's interesting. It sets up for an interesting offseason, not just for coaches, but in a lot of ways with restocking this draft.
Yeah.
Or this offensive line.
I just think it's been proven from too many teams that have looked to be down and out, particularly those that were down and out because of offensive problems.
Right.
It can turn very quickly when you just get a few things that are wrong fixed, and usually it's up front.
Right.
Usually it just looks bad because you are struggling up front, and you can fix that.
The Saints fixed it.
The Saints fixed it. The Vikings fixed it. The Rams fixed it.
Exactly.
And what happened? All of them have taken off. It's just, you know, people forget about it because everyone's obsessed with the outside.
Right.
Everyone's obsessed with all of the fantasy pieces.
Right.
Right? When you have these teams that fix it up front, all those other things fall right in line.
Which, like you said, is the frustrating thing, I think, for Bengals fans, too.
Because they told you, and everybody saw it.
Right, who had an expectation of success. And granted, there were those who did. And that was why I went with 8-8 to start the year, was because I said I thought it was 10-win talent with an 8-8 offensive line, if it was good.
That was serviceable.
And it's been worse. Like I said, if it started like it did in Jacksonville, because they've essentially been 500 since the... Oh, no, they haven't been. Yeah, 5-4 since the 0-3 start.
Yeah.
Or 5-5. Yeah. So, I mean, right?
Right.
So if they would have started there, they're a 500 team.
For now.
You know what I mean? Yeah, for now. I mean, at this point, I think attrition and injury and quitting and all that stuff.
I they still haven't beaten anybody worth a lick.
Which is what a 500 team is.
Which is what a 500 team is, because there's about half the teams in this league are bad, and half the teams are, and like eight teams are okay, and then eight teams are good.
Yeah.
But so, I don't know what all that means for the big picture. It's all going to start with the meeting between Mike and Marv, like Butchie was saying.
What it means is, it makes the coaching decision more interesting, Paul, because it's an unexpected rebuild that they're kind of doing on the fly, which you can do in this league, you know, whatever's going upstate. They already see the fan reaction and the loss of tickets, the loss of concessions, the loss of interest and some anger. They don't want to drift into another 3 years of winning four games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this dip, if you will, is I think how they're going to view, all right, we restocked and rebuilt. We want it back to it in 18, back to it in 19.
And it should, I mean, it should. That's what happens with good drafts is they show up in two to three
right.
years. That's how it works. That's, you know, if you look at what they've done the last 2 years, then the hope is that you will really start to reap the rewards of that next year, especially with another good draft that contributes.
Right.
I think they can afford to be a little bit more aggressive in free agency and spend this year because of the way all the comp picks are going
to
go. There's not going to be a lot of comp picks to be gained off of guys that are free agents from them this year,
yeah.
like there was last year. So they can get aggressive, more
right.
aggressive by their standards
by their
in standards. The free agent market, and maybe go get an offensive lineman,
yeah.
a real one.
And not giving Andre Smith 2 years and $9 million.
Right.
I mean, that still may happen.
Maybe you want him
to
stick around
right.
as a backup who could come in and start or something if you need it. But, I mean, I think drafting one and signing another free agent, and suddenly things are – maybe center. Maybe you sign
yeah.
a center. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. And make Fisher and Obwehi and Smith compete
right.
with some other guys from the outside who are more proven.
Yeah.
Is you know, we have all off season to get into that.
Yeah.
So we will. I do want to get to Optimistic Bobby, who was dealt a blow
yeah.
this past weekend. So let's bring in 50 West owner Bobby Slattery for his weekly segment as the team cascades toward the dreaded nine loss mark that he mentioned the very first time we did these, as that's the only way you ever give up on a season. So here's Optimistic Bobby.
It is that time again, and really, I'm not sure what we're going to get here today, but I'll just go ahead and start and introduce 50 West owner, Optimistic Bobby, Bobby Slattery. How are we doing?
Who day, Paul?
I'm here. You're here. You're not going anywhere, and you're still who day, and so I appreciate that. Haven't reached 9 losses yet. That's your number, right?
Can I confess something?
Confess.
I peeked at the draft list, at a mock draft earlier this week.
Oh no. That's like you're like a kid coming to his dad to be like, I ate the cookies. I know I wasn't supposed to. Please don't ground me.
I think I want to guard, but I don't want to admit it too much because the season isn't officially over yet. We haven't reached the 9 loss mark yet.
No. You do not, and there is still math that says that it's not over. So you can cling on to that.
Do you want to hear it? I know what it is.
Yeah, run it down. Let's make sure everybody knows.
Let's not. I have not waved the white flag. We've since the beginning of the season. I have stuck by it until the team has lost 9 games. The season is not over.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, what took place on Sunday is not leaving. You know, it's not leaving a lot of optimism, but it's still there. So here's what has to happen. The Bengals obviously have to win out to go 8-8. The Chargers, who are absolutely on fire right now, they have to like lose. I think they have to go 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, there's only three. We got 3 games left. So the Chargers have to basically lose out. Okay, and then Baltimore has to lose one of 2 games to the Colts or the Browns, 2 of the worst teams in football. And the Bengals win out, and we're in the playoffs, which would obviously be the strangest playoff year in the history of this franchise.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we got this week. Hopefully they win these next few games and all this other crazy stuff happens and we're in the playoffs and everybody's happy. But with that being said, I will admit that I peaked at a mock draft. I think guard is the best pick for next year. And that's it. I haven't done any heavy research yet, but that's where my thought process is right now. So
you're already saying if we can just get one of those top 10 guards, that's your thought. That's your thought.
I don't want to get into it. Not until we have 9 losses, then we can break this down in depth. I'm okay. I'm rooting for the Colts and the Browns right now. And I think how fitting would it be if the Browns were to take down Baltimore for their only win of the season that would lead to us making the playoffs? Like, if that happened, I don't even know. Like, I would just, like, I think my body would just implode. I'd be so excited.
I just love that these are the scenarios that you're running through in your head, right? Like, this is what your thoughts at. Thinking about would be if the Browns lost the win.
You're crazy. I'd fall on the ground is what would happen. I'd fall on the ground. Like, if you've ever been so excited that you just fall on the ground because you can't handle it, like, that's what I would do.
You're tirelessly optimistic. I love it.
I like thinking about that idea that I might have to fall on the ground because something so crazy like that would happen. Like, that's like, one of the best – that's, like, the best part of life is thinking that something like that could actually happen. It doesn't happen that often, but then again, if you were falling on the ground all the time, it wouldn't be as fun. So that's my take. As far as positives from last week, I don't even know where to begin. I have to admit, I didn't even get to go to the game. My brother and sister-in-law just had another baby, so it was me watching 6 kids by myself with the Bengals. It was really a brutal scenario.
And you had a better Sunday than you would have had you gone to the game.
You know what I'm saying?
I would say watching 6 kids by yourself is definitely better than going to the game.
100%. I will admit that. I will actually admit it. It's terrible for me as a fan. But I was actually thinking, like, I guess I could be standing in the freezing cold watching this right now. And instead, I was like, well, it's just me solo just trying to help the family. So, yes, I was happy with that. I'm sorry. I do think part of me not being there probably had to do with everyone having to watch that terribleness. But
let's
be
honest, Bobby. Let's go back to the Monday Night Football game when you sank this team's season's hopes by changing seats, and then their most ardent supporter does not show up the next week when they really need them, when they're down and out and hurt, and they really need them. You don't show up, and I think it dampened their spirits, and that's why their energy was so low.
I agree. That's it. I'm sorry. That's all I can say is I'm sorry.
Just apologize to the Bengals fans.
I'm a bad fan right now, okay?
All right.
I still have hope, so that's it. So, that's it. We should probably get to the question this week.
All right, what's the question? What do you got for us?
I want to know what you and Jim are planning after the season. I want to know what are you guys going to do once the season wraps up? Is there something that you guys are looking forward to in your lives?
In our lives?
The season, my hope is you look forward to this really great thing that's going to happen. Like, the season wraps up and we get a chance to relax, and then this crazy scenario happens and you guys have to keep working and you're like, God, this is crazy. So anyway, I just want to know, what are you guys looking forward to? Just tell me about your life. Okay, if the season wraps up, this is what we have to do.
Okay, tell me about your lives. I like this. All right,
tell me about your lives.
That sounds good. You tell me about the lives of those at 50 West. What's going on right now? It's big time right now.
Holiday season. It's holiday season. You know, it's good. We're obviously planning for those beers to hit Kroger. January 30th is when they're going to be on the shelves, coast to coast, our American Lager and Doom Petal. New Year's Eve dinner, if you want to go to a fantastic New Year's Eve dinner, you can go online to our website. You can sign up. It's beer paired with food. It's money. Every year we've done this. We get all this response from these people that attend that are like, this is the best New Year's Eve dinner. I love it. So go to the website, check it out. And other than that, just come down, drink our beers, and enjoy all the wonderfulness that is 50 West.
And our Christmas cookie is now flowing, right? Christmas cookie
just started flowing. It just got released out. It got released last week. It's flowing. It went out to bars and restaurants this week. Look for it at your local establishments. And if they don't have it, have them ask for it. It's very limited supply. So if they don't have it, they probably actually can't get it. But tell them next year they need to get it. Fantastic beer.
Yeah, Christmas cookie. Yeah, I can attest to that. My wife does too. She loves it. So Christmas cookie, keep an eye out for that. All right, Bobby. Well, I'm hoping for your sake that we're not here talking about that ninth loss that you've been dreading all year next week, but we will definitely talk to you next week.
Love it. Hootay.
So there is optimistic Bobby who, you know, still just optimizing.
Right.
Just
is that optimistic though? Asking like skipping over three more regular season games to ask what
for us
in the
for us? Season? You know, I mean, here's the thing that I think people don't realize: things get worse for us. January is typically one of the busier months for us because there's always change to track, and you know, there's some sort of always things movement. In coaching staffs and stuff like that. And so the idea of the Bengals having a possible significant.
Right.
Because not a nary a coach on that staff is under contract.
Right.
Makes for a very busy January for us. So to say when the season, quote unquote, ends,
yeah.
It doesn't really end for us probably until that staff is filled out.
Yeah.
Then we can maybe look forward to some things. So maybe then. And yeah. You can answer the question, something you're looking forward to.
I believe we will be putting in official vacation in February.
Correct.
Where, like, we actually have to, like, tell our bosses and do, like, paperwork and accounts
right.
again. Like, so I will say yes. I am looking forward to 5 days of, like, official vacation where I can tell you and my boss and say, I'm not answering the phone. Because I don't have to.
And that's not till late February.
And that's late February.
Before the combine. Pre-combine.
Right, yeah, so.
The time, it's like the small window for NFL beat writers is like post-Super Bowl, before combine.
Right.
And then post-mini camp, pre-training camp. Like the only.
Yeah.
And that post, that before combine post Super Bowl is not exactly a dead period.
No,
but
it's
lighter.
It's lighter, yeah.
It's lighter.
Especially for this organization, because even if they do make sweeping coaching changes, the front office and ownership is still the same, and they will continue to follow their same schedule.
Their same, which
means
they don't do a lot of exactly. extensions at that point. No. You know, you won't see a lot. They don't do a lot of stuff in that
exactly.
in that period, so you can get away with walking away. So yeah, I'm with you. That's mine's going to come in February as well, and
yeah.
so we will. That's probably what we're looking for. Where are you going? Are you going? Have you planned a trip, or is it just
I have planned a trip? I hesitate to say just because it's still, like it's in pencil.
Oh, so you don't want to jinx it.
It's not penned in yet. I mean, I will be taking those days, so but in terms of where or how, that's
still
yet being we need but considering the timeline that it's already like just literally 2 months
should
away.
Probably pick a spot.
Yeah, we're that needs to be finalized.
Yeah. I think we settled on New Orleans. I was trying to sell Honolulu.
Yeah.
That's really far though.
We went to New Orleans on that trip last year.
Yeah,
first time. So that was.
I think we're gonna do like an epic food tour, and we're just gonna eat all the best things that New Orleans has to offer food wise, and just completely just indulge.
Sounds amazing.
It really does. The more I look into it, I mean, I've always loved Southern cooking anyway.
Yeah,
Cajun especially. So there's just so much good food down there, and it's been a little bit since we went in 14 with the Bengals trip. Which was a great one, but I didn't really have time really go down there. And then my wife has gone down there, but we haven't gone together. So
yeah.
This is a perfect opportunity. So I think that's the move. So that's what we're looking forward to. I guess that answers the question. I guess we have to predict this game, right?
Yeah.
L.
Yeah. I mean, I think we thought this would have been a loss anyway when we looked ahead of things. With their dream scenario of a 9-7 finish or even an 8-8 finish after the Steelers game, this was probably the one we thought. But yeah, after the debacle against the Bears, it's even to me it lengthens the margin of defeat. I do think they come out with more energy because it'll be energy in that building. Vikings have been 4 or 5 on the road, 3 in a row on the road, 4 or 5 on the road. Their home fans haven't seen them in a month. They're playing for an NFC title, NFC playoff top seed. So I think there will be energy in the building that the Bengals will respond to, at least for a half. And then it'll be the same old story, 28-10 Vikings.
Yeah, they'll still have a bunch of guys who won't know what they're doing out there. And
a lot of strung out Votto strung together three and outs in the second half.
Yeah, a lot of remembering the like fundamentally sound team that they wished that they were when they were watching it happen across from them with Mike Zimmer's club. So, yeah, I think I said 24-10 or 24-13. I, you know, is kind of my thought. I just, it doesn't look like, doesn't look great. So, there's that. Let's wrap it up with BTS. I'm adding the second segment with Corey Dillon this week. So we had Corey Dillon on Beyond the Stripes on Tuesday, one of my favorite shows we've ever done. Corey was incredible. It was really great perspective. We had a packed house. The WWE event was happening next door, so it was packed at first, and then you realized everyone left to go to that, but there was still a huge crowd left that was just there for Corey.
Yeah.
So it was really awesome to see everybody come down. And Corey, you know, it was just – he was really interesting talking about – coming back and being welcomed back and that unbelievable experience that he had, and a lot of really interesting stories connected to that. And I just, you know, the second segment was great. The hot seat was great. So I decided to put them both in here. So if you want to listen to that section with Corey and the game was great too.
Yeah.
When Corey said he would rather, we played, would you rather flip burgers or
right.
So we kind of took that line, his famous line, and to see where he's at. The only thing he said he would rather flip burgers than do was sit in a room and watch the 2002 season on a loop for 24 hours.
Right.
Everything else, he said he'd rather drive from North L.A. to San Diego through all that traffic, and he'd rather suit up in the season finale for the Bengals this year and play running back.
Right.
Than flip burgers. So he says he actually would play for the Bengals rather than flip burgers.
Exactly.
finally. So there was that. So it was great having him on the show. So here's that. Here's Corey Dillon from BTS. Vinny Ray is our guest on Tuesday. So if you want to come down, Holy Grail Bank, 7 o'clock, Vinny Ray will be down there. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next week on the BBP.
Yeah. So,
all right, welcome back to the Holy Grail Banks Beyond the Stripes, and by JoseVotto.com. Everybody, let's hear it for Bengals legendary running back Corey Dillon joining me up here on this stage.
Thank you. Thank you.
Corey, great to have you with us. I loved catching up with you back when we were doing our Bengals 50 podcast series back in the offseason. It was unbelievable. You talked about so many topics, but you talked about wanting to come back and loving mending fences and being a part of the Bengals organization. What was this weekend like for you over at PBS being back in there again?
To be honest with you, it was unbelievable. Something I didn't expect it. You know I kind of left in a bad fashion, and I was kind of optimistic about how it was going to be received coming back. But for the most part of it, beautiful experience.
There was a massive ovation, one of the biggest we've heard throughout this whole halftime honoring people throughout this whole year. Are you able to put into words that moment in particular, the ovation that you received inside the stadium?
You know what, I think everybody just wanted to move on, including myself. So I kind of took it like that, and like I said, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Speaking of moving on, do you have a relationship with Marvin Lewis? Did you get a chance to talk to him?
You know what? I spoke with him, and we had a great conversation. And I just expressed to him, you know what? I understand his job is hard. He got a real tough job on his hands. I ain't never been a coach, so I know the hours and the mental preparation he puts into that job. I can't really keep speaking on him. You know what I mean? It was wrong for me to, you know, speak out of context on how he does his job. He got family and he got people to feed. So, you know, I expressed that to him, and you know what, we kind of let it go. And I'm gonna let, you know, I ain't got nothing else to say about how Marvin does his job and what's going on down here. For the most part, he's a good guy and a great motivator of men. And I wish him well, whatever he's doing.
Is it one of those things where, you know, is it a moment of time heals all wounds?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, not just for yourself, but even whether it be Mike. I mean, Mike even said he's enjoyed this 50-year thing more than he ever thought he would, and he kind of resisted this sort of idea of honoring past players. It seems like you know, regardless of this year's team, this experience for players like yourself, even Mike involved, this has been just a good year, a good experience for all that.
Yeah, because you know what? If it wasn't for an event like this, some of the guys you wouldn't see or talk to.
Right.
So it was actually great seeing, like, Willie, Michael Bass, and I, Peter Ward, and just catching up and, you know what, talking, having a good laugh. And they need to do that. They need to make it yearly.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I enjoyed it. I really did.
One other aspect is you live in L.A. now, and have you been back to Cincinnati in years at all?
This is my first time being back since 2006.
Since 2006?
So, yeah.
What is it like to walk around? There's some in here tonight to see 28 jerseys. To see, is that weird?
Hey, I'm surprised they kept them because I got a lot thrown at me when I played for the Patriots, and it's a shocker. But it's cool, and I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate it. It makes me feel good, so.
It's got to be a wild thing to know that they're still having them. They're still waiting to want you to come up and sign.
Listen, you know what? It was a beautiful experience coming back here.
Yeah.
And like I said, I thought it would be something totally different. And I'm shocked. And I appreciate the love. Absolutely.
So you were nervous that – what were you nervous of?
No, because like I said, last time I was here, I mean, as an athlete, you don't want nothing thrown at you or booed or anything like that. That's why fly down and have that experience?
Right.
Nobody wants to do that. So I didn't think it would be that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was prepared.
You prepared?
I was prepared. I was prepared. And you know what? Blew my mind.
Yeah.
People had a lot of love, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it back to October 22nd when you broke the yards rushing record.
Okay.
What is going through your head?
Getting a win? To be honest with you, I don't think we had a win that up until that point. So only thing on my mind was, you know, finish the game and try to preserve the win. We was up. So my mind was, hey, do whatever you can to get this first W.
You had some bad seasons, but you did have some record-breaking days, too.
Yes.
Do you have any other good memories that stick out?
I mean, of course, the record-breaking performance. Then Thursday night, my rookie year, was a great night against the Oilers. Going down to Baltimore. Baltimore was a tough team at the time. Didn't allow a 100-yard rusher for a long time. And we went down there and put up almost 150 on them. So things like that stuck out and still hangs with me.
Were there, you mentioned yourself and Willie Anderson, were there two Hall of Famers being recognized at halftime on Sunday with yourself?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, I love Anthony. That's my big bro. But he can't be the only Bengal.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of great players that played here. Ken Anderson and a lot of others that deserve the nod too. So hopefully one day he can have some company.
Right, and it sounds weird to say this, but even events like being honored as an organizational great, as a 50, like the organization itself honors you. Things like this part of that, right, of getting that exposure for guys like yourself and Willie who kind of went under the radar in their careers, right? Like people need to, I think, remember a little bit about some of those numbers, some of those games.
Yeah, I think it's good for everybody. I mean, I would say this. I mean, Will's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
And you know what? And he paved the way for me in a lot of games. And he deserved it. He's to me, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, and he deserves all the recognition he can get.
You know, you came back and Rudy was back with you.
That's my guy.
Was it kind of cool having both you guys back together again?
I would think people would have thought it was a conflict between me. Man, I love Rudy. That's my brother. And actually see him and be honored along with him was pretty cool.
What was that like for you once you flipped over to the Patriots? Both of you guys were having huge years against each other. For them. I mean, you guys were both playing. So
I got them 1 year, though. I got no. It was all right. I was somewhere in a different place.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was rooting for him. You know, you just don't. Your feelings don't cut off for the guys you play with overnight. So for the most part, you know, I was happy for him. He was getting to play, and he was doing a great job.
Those of us up here, everybody, pretty much everyone in this city right now doesn't know what it's like to step on the field at the Super Bowl. What is the Super Bowl like? What is the days leading up to that like? How do you?
Scary. I'm telling you. I remember a moment right before the ball was kicked, and I seen all those flashing lights, and I said, "Wow, this is for real."
Yeah.
And my eyes was big, and I looked at Tom Brady, and he was just over there like, "This is nothing new." you know. Just another game, and that kind of calmed me down, and it got me focused and ready to play the game.
Is that the most nervous you've ever been before a game?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not even. Had you ever really even felt very nervous before games before?
Never. But, you know, after I got that first hit, I was like, all right, back to work.
Right.
You got the ring. You know, the Patriots, they're known for those Super Bowl rings. But what was the biggest difference when you stepped in New England versus Cincinnati?
Oh, that's... I just think the way they run their operation from the top to the bottom, no nonsense, win at all cost. And one thing I respect about Bill Belichick is he treats everybody the same. If Tom Brady's messing up, he's on Tom Brady. If you know, and that goes for everybody else, you know, and that's one thing I can respect about a coach is, you know what, he don't play no favorites. This is how it's going to be. And you should be a reflection of your coach. And that dude is brilliant. He knows what he's doing. He demands a lot. He demands you be smart, tough, physical. And bottom line is, hey, I don't care how we do it, but get this win. And that's what all the players go out there with that mentality. And we check our egos at the door and we go out there and play ball.
Not to disrespect today's current running backs, but I mean, you guys, when you played, it was sort of the end of an era of the feature back. The end, you know what I mean? Where it's like you're
the big
that,
back.
That
yeah.
franchise guy. And actually, yeah. New England is one of the reasons for that. To kind of after you, it was to kind of cycle through guys. How have you seen? I mean, is it over in that sense, or do you think running backs now? No, football's still football. Give a guy 25 a game for 16 games.
I think there's still running backs out there that could do that. Yeah. I mean, look at Marshawn Lynch in his prime. He was awesome, you know. And I think we were just talking about that just over there. When you start splitting backs, it's hard to get a rhythm. You know, the running game is going to be sporadic.
Yeah.
But that's where they're going nowadays. I mean, every team got dual backs. It works out for New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons. They're doing a great job with doing it. And I think, you know, the era of one back, 25, 30 carries a game, I think that's pretty much done.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, everybody knew when Corey Dillon had a rhythm going. It was fun to watch. Let's hear it for should be in the Hall of Fame running back,
Corey Dillon. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on Beyond the Stripes and by JoeSpada.com.
You know, I got to say that when you played here, I was afraid of you, man.
Sorry. I apologize.
I mean, no apologies. I've been here 30 years. I covered Kenyon Martin, James Harrison, Tim Crumry, Bob Huggins. They didn't bother me. I covered a guy, Lewis Billups, who was here before you. God rest his soul. He was a gun enthusiast, man. He once told me after practice that if I ever wrote another word about him, he'd kill me.
I wasn't that extreme. I didn't push it that far.
You did not, but my point was, Lewis Billups didn't scare me, man. You did. I never thought I'd see you in this town again. When Lindsey Patterson told me that Corey Dillon was coming to do Beyond the Stripes on the hot seat, I pondered taking the night off. Calling in sick, taking a personal day, but I've listened to you all week, and you seem to be a somewhat mellow dude, which I appreciate. You, back in the day when you played here, you were a one-man reason to believe. You know what I'm saying? And you have said this week that I did some things that I regret, and I can't take them back, and I'm thankful that people have forgotten about them, whatever. I thought the stuff that you did, that you think is over the top, taking your uniform off and throwing it in the stands, that kind of stuff, saying I'd flip burgers, I thought that stuff was great. Not just as a journalist who loves controversy, but here's one guy. Man, when you took those shoulder pads off and that helmet off and tossed them, you were speaking on behalf of every dude who ever played for that team for like 12 years. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And not only that, but that to me was part of what fueled you. I used to say to Jim Anderson, your running backs
coach,
sir. I said, Corey Dillon runs mean. He runs mean. He's like, he's running, I don't know how you did so fast because you had a chip on your shoulder at all times. And I think if you hadn't been that way, you wouldn't have been nearly as successful
exactly.
as you were. So
exactly.
talk about that. Your career here as a Bengal, you need not apologize. How much did that anger, that chip, that frustration fuel what you did?
Well, it kept me going, to be honest with you. Like I said before, I didn't take kindly to losing at all. So I come from programs that won. So that motivated me to want to get better and want to change the program and get us on some winning streaks. But it wasn't so much I was angry. It was just I'm a competitor and I wanted to win.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of got confused with, you know, having a chip and going around being angry. I just wanted to win, brother.
Well, you came to the wrong place.
I appear so at that time. I see that, but I still try to, for 7 years, man, I fought and tried to make it work.
Now,
absolutely.
Do you feel as if some guys spend their whole careers being a little bit overlooked? I think if part of your being overlooked was a function of, one, being in Cincinnati, and two, how the team played. Four Pro Bowls, a Super Bowl ring, more yardage than O.J. Simpson in your career, still overlooked for the Hall of Fame. Does that piss you off still?
No, I feel eventually it'll come. But I'm not going to go against the process. It is what it is. I got time on my hands. I'll wait.
You're ahead of O.J. You're ahead of Terrell Davis by a lot in terms of yards gained.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that Hall of Fame slight is A, bull, B, bull, or C, bull?
All the above.
All the above, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you also said, when it gets easy, I worry.
Absolutely.
It's never easy for you. Did you ever have a worry-free day in Cincinnati?
No, because I knew I had to go to work.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever actually flip those burgers?
Never.
Now, do you have any plans making good on that promise?
Never.
Okay. All right. Did you know that you wore shoes called the Dillonator?
Yes.
Made by the evil shoe empire, whose name I will not repeat.
Yeah.
Did you also know that they ripped that off from me? Because I started calling you the Dillonator in the column.
Well, we need to call him up and get a chat.
I'll leave that to you.
All right.
I'll
work on that.
You have a little more input.
We'll work on it.
How many times before you actually ripped off your uniform and tossed it into the stands did you really want to do that?
Never.
Never? See, no. I would have thought you'd have said it, you know, every couple of weeks.
Nah. I think, you know what kind of put me over the top was that year in particular. I tore my MCL.
Yep.
Still want to play, try to play, end up ripping my groin. So I'm down for at least 4 or 5, 6 weeks. And then there was a rumor of they trying to trade me to Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
So that didn't sit well with me. So after the season, all the emotions just came out and there go the equipment. So
now rumor has it that the guy who caught that helmet in the stands brought that helmet to some autograph session you did this week.
Yes, mouthpiece still intact.
Mouthpiece still intact.
Yes.
Did you ask him for the helmet?
I actually did. I said, I want this back.
And what did he say?
Oh, no. No. But it's with a good guy. I signed it for him.
Yeah.
You know, we had a good laugh, and
yeah,
it's in good hands.
I wonder who has the pads. You ever wonder about that? That keep you up at night? Who has my shoulder pads?
You know what? I think they returned the shoulder pads.
Oh, they did?
And the shoulder pads reside with me. I got them.
You got those shoulder pads.
I got the shoulder pads.
But you wanted the helmet, and the guy said no.
Absolutely not.
That guy, he's treading on thin ice, my friend. Do you remember Gus Frerotte's left-handed pass in 2002?
No.
Because I remember. To me, that symbolized a whole lot of the futility that was going on during that time. Gus Frerotte in Cleveland. Gus Frerotte in Cleveland was flushed out of the pocket through a left-handed pass that a defensive lineman for the Browns intercepted and ran back for a touchdown.
That sounds about right.
It was right. It's completely right.
Sounds
you know what
right.
else? I said to the guy sitting next to me in the press box at Cleveland Stadium or whatever they call that stadium now, I said, right before that play, it's time for a Bengal moment, also known as a BM.
Oh, Lord.
And damned if Gus Frerotte didn't throw that left-handed pass that was returned for a touchdown by a guy who ran a 40-yard dash in about 6 weeks. That was the highlight. That was the highlight. Where is, speaking of better things, where is your Super Bowl ring?
In a safe at home.
Do you wear it ever?
Never.
Never even wear it?
Never. No.
You might have brought it back here and flashed it to some of these guys.
I would never
guys.
Do that.
Be the only time they'll ever
I
see one.
I would never do that, no.
Yeah. All right. That, to me, was great. I love watching you that year. I love the fact that you got the ring, because being associated with a losing entity does not make you a loser, personally.
And I understand that. Absolutely.
And that signified to me that... You know, nice guy. I'm not nice guys. I'm not going that far. You are.
yeah.
Try hard, good guys.
Yes.
Win out in the end.
Yeah.
Finish first. And you got a damn Super Bowl ring, which was the penance you had to pay here to get that ring. And you paid it. So I thought that was cool. Now, you're a golfer.
Somewhat.
12 handicap?
11, 12.
How long you been playing?
About 12 years into it.
12? See, this shows how hard that game is. You are an athlete. You should be in the Football Hall of Fame. You played golf 12 years, and you're 12 handicapped.
Yeah.
It's a hard game.
Very difficult.
And you play a lot.
Play a lot.
You ain't playing a lot now with those fires going on right by your house, brother.
I'm going to let them get them under control and get back out there.
You said to me that you came off the course the other day with your face all sooty.
Yeah.
Because of the fires out in Southern
Absolutely.
California.
Absolutely. Eyes burning, ashes flying everywhere.
And you're playing in that.
Why not?
I could think of about a million reasons why
well,
not.
I wanted to quit a couple times, but I toughed it out.
And what did you shoot?
I actually shot an 84 that day.
How about that? A fire ravaged 84?
Yeah, not bad.
That's strong, man.
It's okay.
Well, you go back now, man, the course may not even be there.
May not.
You have to go back
it
and play.
May not.
You may have to go back and play nine hole munis like I do. What has golf taught you? You know what it's taught me? The serenity prayer.
Okay.
What has it taught you?
Patience.
Yeah. You didn't have patience before you started playing?
Not really.
No.
Taught me how to be patient and you know what? Take it one shot at a time.
You know what else it's taught me? That graphite snaps a whole lot easier than steel.
I learned that, too.
You learned that. Smack that bad boy
I learned that too.
Right over your knee. Nothing to it when it's graphite. All right, give me one life mulligan for Corey James Dillon. One thing you'd like to do over.
Let me see here. Nothing, really. Because it made me into who I am today. And I can live with that.
Good answer. Is football too violent? You're a violent man back then, but it was a different time.
It might be a little softer now, but...
A little softer. Is it too violent? I mean, did you watch...
I watched the Pittsburgh game,
yeah.
and that was a little out of hand. That was
Wow.
Would you have loved to play in that game?
Dare mind.
Yeah. That's like a lawyer knowing the answer before you ask the question.
Absolutely.
Seriously, though, do you feel at all for your brain? Do you worry about that?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. That's real. That's CTE is real.
Yeah.
And you, and as an athlete, if you had any concussions and how many years I don't play, you would be concerned too. So.
Yeah. And you were not one to shy from contact.
Sure wasn't.
Yeah.
Sure wasn't. So. We'll see.
That's dangerous, man. Are you a cool dude or a bad man?
I am a cool dude.
You're a cool dude?
Yes, I am.
All right. I wouldn't have thought that. I mean, not that you're not cool, you understand.
I'm really,
I just thought the latter over, you know, overweighed the former.
No.
Don't hit me. Don't hit
me. I'm not.
Though.
I'll try not to.
All right. Would you rather be loved or respected?
Respected.
All right. Person you admire most, and one question you'd like to ask that person?
Well, I talk to that person every other day. That's my mom.
And what would you ask? What would you like to ask her? I'm sure you've asked her everything.
How did you put
under
up
the
me?
Sun? How did she put up with you? I think that's a question lots of sons would like to ask their mothers.
Yeah.
Whom do you want giving your eulogy when you die, and what would you like him or her to say about you?
I will let my daughters do that.
Yeah. And what would you hope that they would say?
You know what? Dad was pretty damn cool.
He was pretty cool. Wasn't a bad man.
Nah.
He was a cool dude.
He was cool.
All right. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask me?
Are you done?
Am I done? I can go on all night if you got the time. No, I'm done. That's it. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. It was great.
Oh, pleasure.
Great
all
seeing
mine.
You. Great
Good seeing you as well.
We will be back on Beyond the Stripes, presented by JosephAuto.com.